Greetings to each one. May God's grace, mercy be given to each one of us. Turn to Ephesians 4 for scripture this morning to begin with. I'd like to bring a message on for this body, in some sense, cast a vision for this body. And so I encourage you as parents, if you can, take a pencil and paper and take some notes as we walk through the message and look at or envision what God would have us to be as a church, maybe as families, as in our homes, as parents and so forth. And we want to look at the whole church. That's one of the aspects we want to look at, is the whole church. Another one is the whole gospel, and then the third is the whole world. This is a vision statement, you might say, that encapsulates what God would have us to do and where He wants us to go. So it's the whole church taking the whole gospel to the whole world. And we'll look at each one of those three aspects specifically, and I may need your help to identify them. But let's read in chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling. And we could park on that verse a long time and talk about one body and one spirit. One hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto, looking at the whole church here, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We want to look at the whole church, the whole body, and look at what the gifts that God has given to the body, how the body should function and flow together, and what the purpose of that body is, of course, is to take then the gospel, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name, the head of the body. And we ask you, Father, to minister life to the body today. Light and blessing shine upon us. Instruct us, teach us, guide us, and show us what your will is for this body, this church, and then also specifically for each individual, Lord. We ask you to enlighten our understanding according to your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thinking about the whole church, we know that in the whole world, to all those who have been, who have believed and been born of the Spirit of God, they are a part of the whole church. Worldwide church, you may say. And that's a beautiful picture of how God brings together from all different kinds of walks of life and unite them in one spirit of the gospel, having taken down, having taken away the wall of partition that is between peoples and groups and tribes and languages and so forth. In Christ, God has brought together in one those who are a part of Christ. They are the church, the body of Christ. More specifically for today, we're looking at the local body, this fellowship, those who gather together here on a week-to-week basis to fellowship, to have corporate times of worship. This is also the body of Christ. And that's where we want to specifically look at to begin with here today, because we want to hear from God what He has for this body. We don't need to worry about the body, the fellowships out there or over there in other countries and so forth as much. Yes, we should be praying for them, but our specific vision and sight is for this local body here. Going further in this chapter, we can see that he gives gifts. God has given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, that when Christ ascended up on high, He took captivity captive and He gave gifts unto men. I remember so well what a brother sharing about this. He gave us the picture how that when Christ rose from the dead, He left the grave and He ascended. He went up on high, and it seemed like as He was going up, He remembered the rest of the body or the church back home, and He gave gifts to them when He left. And so He has done that. He has given gifts unto the church. And what is the purpose of those gifts? In this chapter specifically, we have the purpose of the gifts laid out very clearly. They are specifically to those who are in leadership. He gave some to apostles, some prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now that does not necessarily mean just the ordained elders. But He has given gifts to the body. And there's other gifts that are also been given. But the purpose of these gifts is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And we've been through this chapter many times. Brother Aaron has taught on it many times. The purpose of these gifts is to bring the body together as one. And so one part of the church is that God has given gifts, and He has given gifts to each one of us. If we use those gifts as He has designed us to, as He has designed the gifts, then that brings God glory. That brings Him honor and glory. And that's one part of the church. But we want to identify the church here this morning. Let's begin by just looking at who is the church this morning. In this place, what do we have that makes up this local body that is called the church here? We have fathers, right? What else do we have? We have mothers. We have men and we have women. We have youth, young ladies. We have young men. We have older men, older women. We have a few old men here. Maybe a few old ladies or old sisters. And the Bible identifies each one of these in specific places. Let the older women teach the younger women and so forth. And there's lots of verses we could look at, but we want to specifically look at some of the functions and some of the work of each person in the church. I think of the picture of a family. We're looking at the church, and if somehow we could envision in our mind what the church should look like this morning. Should the church look like the world? Should the church look different than the world? Should there be a clear distinction between the two? Should be, shouldn't it? Think with me in this way. What if you were to take a Bible and go to some foreign country somewhere to a group of people that do not have the Scriptures. They don't know about God. And you take the Scriptures, this Bible, and you put it in the center of that people group, and they take that Bible, and they become a church. And the only thing that they have to guide them as to what this church should look like is the Bible. What would they look like? What would they live like? They would have no other outside influences showing them what they maybe ought to do according to that culture or tribe or so forth. They would only go by the Bible. What would they look like? And what would they live like? How would they act? And what would they do if they were the church of Jesus Christ? Just imagine, what would they look like? They would have no other outside influence as to what they should do or be or act or so forth. They have just the Bible. If you were to write a description of that church, what would it be like?
The book of Acts.
The book of Acts. Okay, which part? The first 12 chapters where they have Jews and all and their trappings, all their things? Or would you be talking about Acts 17, 15, 16, 17, where Paul went to the Gentiles? And there, they probably did that. They took the Word of God, and Paul preached the Word of God there in the Asia Minor area and established churches. Something for us to think about. What would that church look like? What if one of those fathers who would have a row of children, he would want to find out what he should do. He would look at God's Word and search for the Scriptures that would specifically show him what he, the father, would and should do in his family, with his children. He wants to learn how to teach them, raise them, lead them in the right path. What would he do? What about a mother? Would a mother look for this in the Scriptures? When it's her turn to have the Bible for a day, what would she look for? You know, if they passed his Bible around, just a thought. But what would the aged men do? What would the aged women do? Oh, they would begin to teach the younger women. Right? And somebody looking in from the outside, what would they observe? What would they see? They would surely see that these people love one another. That's the main characteristic they would see. There was something that would stand out immediately when they would look at those people. They love one another. That's what the church would look like. Right? What else would they see? Any thoughts? What else would they see? Of the truth, God is in you. And fall down and worship God, right? Okay. How much do you think we're affected by the culture around us as we endeavor to demonstrate to the whole world what the church should look like, act like, and be? How can families demonstrate the glory of God in His kingdom? What could families do? Families could work together in harmony. Children would honor their parents. Fathers would not provoke their sons to wrath. Mothers would teach their daughters. On and on you could go. But we have some beautiful pictures of family life here, homes that flow in harmony and peace, where the father and the mother are honored and loved and obeyed, and the children grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord with joy and with blessing in the safe protection of the home. But not only are these families beautiful to look at, these families are also busy doing something. Families have such a powerful opportunity to witness and testify of the grace of God for a family unit to those around them. They could go singing, they could go teaching, they could go ministering to many different places. We're looking at the church. First of all, we're looking at families. We want to look at the husbands and the wives and the marriage situation and what would this little church out there in that village look like? What would the husbands and wives be doing? How would they be functioning if they would take the Word of God and simply do what it says? Amen? I think of the youth, the strength of youth. Me, I'm getting a little bit beyond my youth, and my body keeps letting me know about that. And I remember the days of my youth. Strong, confident, healthy, and able to run for miles sometimes. It's just, all kinds of things. The strength of a young man. How does the church harness the strength of youth? That's one of the visions. It's one of the things that we want to think about is, how are we going to harness the strength and the vitality and the vigor and the vision of youth? Think of young girls, the virgins, and what would this church look like? What would the young girls be like in this church? A church like that. They would be pure. They would not be selfish. They would not be trying to be the most beautiful one, would they? They would be humble, meek, and let the glory of God shine through their face and their smile instead of trying to draw attention and attraction by their physical body, right? Isn't that what the girls would do in this place? Very different than the world. I visited my parents recently, and my dad is quite a bit older than I, and his body is much more frail than mine, but he's being useful. He sits at the table day after day after day, still doing something for God. He's cutting quilt patches out, day in and day out. People bring the scraps of their old material by the box, and he goes through those boxes and he cuts them into quilt patches or comfort patches, and then he just all day cuts these, fits his block around this size material, and just cuts around that square, and then he has a smaller piece of material and he cuts a smaller square out of that and he puts them all in stacks. He's doing something for God. And then there's a lot of older women, widows and so forth, who their physical bodies might not be as strong, but they're still serving God. I thought, this is a beautiful thing. A lot of our parents, especially the Amish and the Mennonite, older people, many of them are busy making something for God. And they take those comfort and quilt patches and some other older ladies, then they sew them together and then have groups come together to do the comfort knotting, the quilting, all that, and they give them to mission agencies to send them across the oceans to foreign lands so people have clothing and so they have blankets to cover themselves. That's a part of the work of the church, is it not? Every member busy in serving some way or the other. I picture the old men, the aged men, sitting at the gates where people can come to them for wisdom and ask questions. And that's what you would have. You would have aged men who would have lots of wisdom. I was sitting this week listening to an aged man speak of the work that God has given him to do. This man is probably almost in his 80s, but he has traveled into hundreds of different countries around the world and has been effectively reaching into the lives of many, many people. He sits with the leaders of the countries, sits with Ahmadinejad, and those kind of men in Iran and Iraq and the leaders of Hezbollah and so forth. This man is an aged man. He walks a little bit stooped like this, but when he speaks, there's so much wisdom coming out of him. And I looked at him and I saw that old man is about 80 years old. And I tried to imagine what it would be like to have an 800-year-old man around. Could you imagine the wisdom coming out of an old man, an aged man like that, sitting at the gates? Wow. The aged men, full of wisdom and truth, and they can give direction to the young men. That's what I would see. We would see some of the unmarried ones who are growing up in singlehood. We would see them with a ministry. The young men, Apostle Paul, as far as we know, was not married. He was free to go, didn't have a wife and children to hold him back, and he went and he was mightily used of God. Lots of single women have had a great impact in the foreign fields. They've been able to minister where men could not minister. They've been able to minister where couples could not minister. And God used them. Think of Mary Slessor going to the inlands of Nigeria, I believe it is, and how God used her to tame the wild savages that the government couldn't tame. In a few years' time, she had these savages tamed to where they became Christians. And the government had for many, many years been trying to bring them under. But they were brought under by a woman, for just simply fulfilling her place in the kingdom of God. That's what happened there. Married teens, Aquila and Priscilla, worked together for the glory of God. There's so much there is so much work to be done, and each one has a part to fill. Some will be missionaries. Some will work in the mission board. Some will be preachers and teachers and evangelists and so forth. Others will be mothers in their home, guiding and raising their children. There'll be fathers who go to work day after day. Are they serving God? Yes, they are. They sure are. Businessmen. The Moravians especially used business to further the gospel. They would go to places like India. And one place in India, they came up with making tile, a better tile than had ever been made, and they sold those tile and they shipped those tile across the seas to many different lands. And that business was used of God for the glory of God and for His kingdom. They used the money to support missionaries. Is that any lesser work than the one on the front lines doing the actual mission work? It's not. businessmen today. Oh, that God would raise up businessmen with vision of what God would have them to do for His glory and for His kingdom. Business is just as much, can be just as much worship as preaching the gospel. Really? You mean I could be just as spiritual on my 9-to-5 job daily as the missionary out in the front lines? It doesn't really depend on your work, does it? It depends more on your heart and the condition of your heart, how you walk, and how you worship God in truth and spirit. God wants those. Let's see. God seeks for the missionaries to worship Him in truth and spirit. Right? Or does He also seek businessmen, fathers and mothers, such as would worship in truth and spirit? Yes, amen. Well, I'd like to do a little bit of an exercise here this morning. And just to emphasize this point, that it is just as spiritual, it can be just as spiritual to be a whole 9-to-5 job as it is to be a missionary. Amen? I would like for, and we have a missionary here this morning, so I would like for the missionary and his wife to stand and tell us what their occupation is. Okay? Go ahead, Daniel.
Amen. Well, glad to take part in this exercise. I think the verse that comes to my mind is, in whatever you do it to the glory of God. So our lives are sanctified by God's purposes. I think my life is probably split in about three directions as far as the waking moments of my day. Probably about a third of life is spent in family responsibilities, and about a third of my life is spent in either study or ministry, whether that's ministry in the village or ministry to sent one or sent two students. And then about a third of my life is just normal nitty-gritty things, which might be paying bills or trying to clear packages through customs or keep vehicles on the road. And so I have lots of all of those elements in my life. And I think there's the challenge is just as real for me to make sure that I'm sanctifying all elements of my life, even though for me they're right there on the field. But I think that element is there for me, maybe not quite as real as it is for you, but the challenge still remains to make sure that in all that I do, I'm doing it to God's glory. And I do seek that unified life purpose. So whether I'm trying to get a car worked on or actually standing in front of people preaching, you know, that God gets glorified from all of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, what does your wife do?
I think I'll probably give the village aspect of our life. That will be something that we'll spend our next 6 months doing. We spent our last 3 months doing after the Sent 2 team. My life consists of being a mom, doing dishes, laundry, cleaning, training children, homeschooling. Pretty much I keep my life centered around household duties and children and homeschooling till around 4:30 in the afternoon. And then for 2 hours, maybe 1.5 hours, depending on how much time I have that day, I make a purpose to go out and greet my neighbors. So that's my little outreach, going around and either playing with the African village children with my children or going with my children to their houses and going and greeting them. And then back to daily duties, to making supper and getting the children down for bed. So my life is very much the same as your life here, very much filled with practical duties. But in those practical duties, I always have in the back of my heart and in the back of my mind, I'm doing this to the glory of God. I don't put the glory of God on a shelf and pull it down at 4:30 in the afternoon. It's all to the glory of God, and walking with a grace-filled, joyful attitude all day long in front of my children is probably one of the hardest things that I do, because it means that I sacrifice my selfishness to the glory of God and choose to put others first and myself last.
Thank you. All right. George, what is your occupation?
Well, I spend a lot of my waking hours. I'm an owner of Westfield Egg Farm. And a lot of my waking hours is managing a company. I don't know how much detail you want to know about it. But
do you do anything for Jesus?
Well, you know, my goal is to wake up and smile. My goal is to be cheerful. My goal is to, share His love, maybe just by a testimony or just by mentioning His name, by encouraging others. There's other things that God gives me a privilege to do for Him. I don't know if you want me to go into those things also.
Briefly.
I'm very grateful for the privilege of being able to, on Thursday nights, go into the city and minister there. I'm grateful to be able to minister to my family, just be there for my children. Also, it seems like there's a lot of opportunities to meet a lot of people. And with meeting those people, it's interesting. There's a lot of questions that will come from time to time, so there's opportunities to talk about Him there.
Do you sometimes feel somewhat unspiritual when you're doing your business compared to when you're, in ministry type thing?
Yeah, there's definitely that temptation. There is. But God has helped me through that a lot, and realizing when you know that you're where you're supposed to be right now, that makes all the difference.
Okay. What about your wife?
Okay, I would say I'm a full-time mom, homeschooler, taking care of all those details around the house. And I like to say that I'm George's sounding board for when he brings his things. I like to be there to listen and encourage and be there for him.
Do you sometimes think that the missionary wife is more spiritual than you, as a busy mom?
I guess if we'd be real honest, maybe I could say yes. But I think I also know that, and I've had the fulfillment of being where I am, where God has me now, and I can be blessed being where I am right now.
Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, George. Okay, I'm going to have Adam and his wife stand. And Adam, what is your occupation?
I'm a diagnostic technician. I go out in the morning and look for problems. I look at the problems, identify them, and figure out how to fix them. Sometimes I do that myself. Sometimes I just prescribe something for others to fix. But all day long, if I can fix 3 to 4 or 5 broken machines or just problems of some kind, it's been a good day. Sometimes the problems are with the machines. Sometimes the problems are with the operators. I still go out. I get paid for determining what needs to happen to make things profitable and successful. And I enjoy that. I enjoy the machine aspect of my work, but I also enjoy the people. A lot of times, the problems will be a combination of the operator of the machine and the machine itself. And so, if I were not able to speak or communicate or relate to the people, I could probably not solve the problem. So that's what I do all day long.
Do you have a sense of fulfillment in the kingdom of God as you work on those machines and grease and dirt?
I do. I can be working for worldly people, unbelievers. When they have a problem, when the machine that they depend on for their livelihood is broken, and I find a solution to that problem, my clients are so grateful. And they have an openness that they might not have if I came to them with the title of missionary. I've been able to have fellowship with people and witness to people in ways that I probably wouldn't have had if I had been a missionary instead of a problem solver in their business.
Do you see yourself as a missionary when you do that?
I do at times. I want to do that 100% of the time. I'm not there. Sometimes I just want to get the job over and leave.
Thank you, Adam. What about your wife? What's your occupation, Naomi?
I guess probably the same as the others, just full-time and more, mom and a wife. I like to be there to support my husband. I fail many times. As far as the missionary aspect, I like to see that I'm raising children that can go and do much more than I could.
So you are a missionary?
Yes. I don't always see it, but I am.
All right, thank you. I have another hand over here. And if there's any others here that would like to share, please feel free to. If there's any singles here that would like to share, just to be free to open up.
There was this concept which was communicated by missionary motivators or mobilizers maybe 100 years ago. And I think of it sometimes not in terms of my life, because I am a physical missionary, but in terms of your lives. So I pass it along as a blessing. And that was the concept that by serving God where He has placed you, and by supporting others who are serving Him in places where He has placed them, you get to serve the Lord effectively 24 hours a day because of the various time zones. And I say that to honor you, because there's a lot of you here who, those of you who just mentioned working or owning businesses, you didn't mention the fact, but I know that it's true, that both of you have supported our work, which means that you own part of what we do. And so that idea is there, that by supporting work in other time zones, whether you're awake or sleeping, you're doing the Lord's work. And I also just want to affirm that I don't believe that there is a dichotomy or a line between physical and spiritual in our lives, provided that what we are doing is not for selfish ends. And so I've encouraged my wife in that, and I also encourage myself in that at times. But Christy's role is much more mundane than mine. I get to do a lot more actual ministry. But the fact is that if I'm not serving myself, then all that I'm doing is for the honor and glory of God. Now, I can't say it's sanctified if I'm serving my selfish ends, but when I'm taking care of my family, fulfilling my responsibilities, and doing God's work, or providing for others to do God's work, that is sanctified. And I think the enemy would like us to think it's physical, so that we think of maybe 1 or 2 hours a day as being spiritual, because that's when we're in the Word, or that's when we're sharing, or that's when we're having family devotions. But that's a ploy of the enemy, because our lives are all sanctified by God's purposes.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Is there someone else who would like to give us a picture? I've got several hands here. Timothy, go ahead.
I've come to see that I'm not in a manager position. Kind of halfway between two managers, actually, is more my position, helping in a lot of ways in the business that I work for. But I've come to see that, you know, God brought me to this business to do a good job, to provide for my family, And also that right within that business, there's plenty of needs for me to reach out and bless others, pray for others, be, you know, ready to speak a word of kindness in season, and be a peacemaker in the midst of some of those work situations that come up that are less than peaceful. And I'm excited about what God has done in my heart in those things and wants to continue to do.
Okay, thank you, Timothy.
A couple things came to my mind about us mothers. One example is Stanley Tam was brought to the Lord by a mother in a home that was praying that somebody would come to her door that she could share Christ with. And he became, he was a salesman, and she lived way out in the country, and he was converted when she was ready for him when he came. And then he was saved through her, and he became a very powerful witness. He's a businessman that has brought many, many, many souls to the Lord. And the thing that really struck me is to really pray, be prayed up, and be ready when the phone rings, and to be prepared for whoever might come to my door. And yesterday I talked to Holly Tuchek, and she told me about how people have been ministering to her in Liberty, Kentucky, and I was very convicted. She said that she has babies still and she uses cloth diapers, and she's very sick, pregnant, and one of the ladies takes her dirty diapers home and washes them for her.
Thank you, Susie. Amos.
I'd like to testify of what God did in my heart this summer when I traveled to Africa. I, in times past, have struggled with having a job as a sales rep selling products that people really don't have to have, selling an elite product. I've struggled with that in the past, and even struggled with the fact that I have a good paying job doing that. And this summer, after hearing the missionaries' hearts on the support that they need spiritually, monetarily, the various aspects that they need support, God really did a work in my heart, and I came to look at my job totally differently. Before that, I had a sense of pressure in my mind of closing this deal or making this sale. And it was more of a personal gain. But God really did a work in my heart. I can go to work in the morning now, and I'm just excited about the sale that God's going to bring my way so I can support the work in the field. Totally changed my aspect of
Wow.
my job and my life. I've enjoyed my job so much more since. And really, I have a privilege that Daniel and Christy probably don't have. I don't know how many people they get to support financially. I get to be a missionary here and support them. So I feel it's a double privilege.
Thank you, Amos. It's so good. Are you catching God's heart for the whole church this morning? I'd just like to ask you at this point, I think you're getting the heart of what's been on my burden this morning, and that is that each one of us has a very specific part to play in the church of Jesus Christ locally. And that it's a privilege to do that which God has given me to do. I wonder here, how many of you are recognizing that your attitude about what you've been doing
or your call in life, whether it's a housewife, whatever it may be, has been a little off. Can I see your hands? Okay. And just what Amos shared about, has his job changed? No. What changed? His heart changed. His perspective about what God has called him to do has changed. And the question to each one of us here is, am I confident and at peace about what God has called me to do in my everyday life? Am I at that place? God wants me to be there. Amen? In the back.
I'm a salesman, and I love selling stuff, and I love working with people. And when I first moved to Pennsylvania, I told just about every customer that I worked with the amazing story about how God brought us out here. And as the year went on, I went from telling people when they'd ask, why did you move from Minnesota to Pennsylvania? I'd say, before I was saying, God brought us out here, and I'd tell them the story. And then it started going, well, there was work out here, when in fact I wasn't looking for work in Pennsylvania. And my manager came to me and he said, Adam, why did you stop giving God the glory for you moving out here? And he challenged me to bring God back into the picture. And I was very humbled, and it really bothered me when I realized that I stopped giving God the glory. I am grateful to say that because of my manager and him encouraging me to shine my light for the Lord, I am now purposing to tell every customer I come in contact with about him.
Amen. Amen. Rodney.
Yeah, a little while ago I had listened to a book on tape about helping the poor, and one of the first questions they say you should ask someone who's destitute and doesn't have anything is, what do you have, you know, in your hands? That they found that going into, you know, poor villages or people in the city and who are asking for money, if they ask, you know, what do you have in your hand, they all of a sudden can start thinking, well, this guy's, you know, good at mechanics, he loves, you know, fixing stuff, and this guy's good at this, and this guy has, you know, a shed out behind his place. And all of a sudden, together, pooling their resources, they can start creating something to offer or momentum. And I had to just think of that in relation to a church, in relation to each of us. You know, what is in our hand? What is in our families as far as, like you mentioned, gifts that God gave us, financial resources, other resources that we have, our time and stuff. You know, there's a concept in teamwork called synergy, which is the concept that people working together can create better results or better decisions.
Momentum than
people working individually. The sum of the whole is greater than the individual parts. And, you know, if we all work together, get a vision of this as families, but also as a church family, you know, we could really move forward in taking the whole gospel to the whole world.
Thank you. That's true. Right here.
I was just prompted to share. Maybe there's other people here this morning in the same shoes that we were in just a couple short months ago, where you're financially not able to help. You might have a huge debt load and just feel like you're snowed under and you're not worth anything to the missionaries because you can't do anything. I think there's great glory to God in persevering, in living within your means and having a goal of paying off that debt so that you can help the missionaries at some point. It's not sin for you to not be supporting the missionaries if you're wholeheartedly working at the job that God has given you. And we have been tremendously blessed just having that attitude towards it of getting rid of that thing, and we are overjoyed to be able to now help support the missionaries.
Hallelujah. I want to say that in these 5 or so years that you've been here as a family, just your support to the ministry team has meant so much to us. Thank you.
I guess I just had a word for the young girls. I've had the chance of, having many years just being at home and serving my family. I didn't get to go over to Ghana until I was 23 or 22, I think. And I guess I've been over there 3 times, and I'm, Lord willing, planning to go back in just under 2 weeks now. And I guess just one thing that I noticed in my life and being over there is it seemed like when I was over there, I just felt like God was teaching me that serving over there was preparation for coming back here too and serving here, and it just kind of goes both ways. You might feel like it's maybe something, an opportunity you get when you're more mature or kind of almost a step up spiritually or something, but just realizing it's just a continuation of your relationship with God and the ways He can use you when you submit to His will. And I find it fulfilling too, just serving at home. I guess more so recently. Sometimes I know it's easy to not see it that way. I like to look at it as an opportunity to spend time with my siblings and to make a difference in their lives, to encourage them in what they can do and include them in the things that I do too.
That is a very, very valuable ministry. God bless you for that. Still open to anyone else here. The question I guess I have here is, some of you may be sitting here listening to these beautiful testimonies of how this one and this one found a place of fulfillment in their lives. But maybe you're sitting here and you're not feeling that, like you're fulfilled. And so the question comes, how do I find my place in the church? How do I find my place in the body? How can I become one of those useful vessels in God's hand for this local body and for the glory of God? Maybe you're a father or a mother here who feels that way. But we should have a discussion about how to find that rightful place, maybe. How do we find that place? Is there anybody here that would want to raise their hand and say, I'm kind of at that place? Might be a youth, might be a young, might be a teenager, might be young. And many of our young children, you know, up to the age of maybe through their teenage years, they're really concerned about, how am I going to find my place in the kingdom of God? How am I going to, what am I going to do with my life? Do we have an answer for them? Can we help them find a place of fulfillment now already? I think there's a key. I want to mention that key yet, but I have a hand back here. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, if I could share my experience a little bit. 3 years after we were married, we started dairy farming. And that, for the next 8 years, that was basically my life, my God, and I put everything I had into it. And then, by the grace of God, we were saved out of the God I was serving, which would have been the farm. And we ended up selling the cows and all the equipment, everything else. And that was a major life change for me. Every morning, get up at 3:30 or 4 o'clock, go out, take care of the cows, and work with that all day, get to bed maybe at 9, 9:30 at night. And I enjoyed it. I put everything I had into it, and I enjoyed it. But then we came out of that, and it was like, what do I do now? I mean, life's totally turned upside down, basically. So I tried welding shop. That I enjoyed that to a certain extent, but I was cooped up inside all day, and I could only take so much of that. So then I saw an ad in the Lancaster Farming for a dairy manager wanted out in Hineland County, so I responded to that, and we moved out there. That only lasted 5 months, and came to the end of the rope there. And then I was basically at the end of myself. You know, I was like, God, what do I do now? We had a couple of options, and seeing God made it clear that He wants us to move back close to where my parents lived. But there again, we didn't have a house or building or anything on that land. My question was, God, how is everything going to work? But we ended up doing that. We're back on the farm again, doing produce. And so far, God has supplied our needs. And this summer, again, it was just really discouraging. I thought the produce wasn't working as it should, and I had another job. I was putting too much time in that. Just couldn't reach around and be there for my family. And it was, again, God, what do you want us to do? This isn't working like it is. And I was also trying to figure out on my own, what for ministry do I have? How can I be a part of the local body here and still reach out to the missionaries and still be serving God right where I am? This kept going around in my mind. I just couldn't find a solution. So finally I said, God, hey, I'm not getting anywhere with this. You have to, can you show me what you want me to do? And about the same time I had started working for Ephraim Stahl's Foods, taking animals up to the city, and I noticed a box or a case of Bibles that he had in his truck, and I asked him, you know, what do you do with these? He said, hey, take them along home and pass them out. And I was like, how do I do that? I never passed out a tract or a Bible. But I took them along home and took them down to Philly and gave like half a dozen to one of the older men down there that's kind of in charge of the neighborhood we are in. I said, here, take these and pass them out. He was just overjoyed. He said, we don't have Bibles in Philly. If the Bibles are laying in church, then make sure they get picked up before the people leave, or they'll just take them. I was like, wow, I couldn't believe that. And I knew I could get more Bibles at home, so I did that. But through that, it just seemed God opened my eyes and said, you have a mission. You have a minister right here. You can witness to these people. You can pass out Bibles. You can bring produce down here and just let them see Christ through you. And the last 3 or 4 weeks, it has really changed my outlook on the whole produce thing. I just enjoy it a lot more. And I've come to a place where I've got to let some things go so I can be at home for my family more than what I am now and not be so uptight all the time and trying to make this thing work on my own. But Let God do the work and try and fulfill my place that He has for me. So thank you for letting me share.
That's exciting to hear. And I've noticed the difference in you already. It's amazing. Yes, Robert.
Yeah, there's a couple of things I'd like to share that I feel that I could do more of is serve the family of Jesus Christ, because I love to cook and I think you all know that. But there's one thing more important than that, and that's praying for each other. We get to pray for each other 24/7. Doesn't matter if it's Saturday morning, doesn't matter if it's Friday morning, but to pray for people that you don't even know. What a joy that is. And I think God answers prayers. I think we've all been, you know, some of the miracles God does through prayer. So I love to pray, and you don't have to be in another country to pray. You can be right at home, right in your car, you know, as soon as you get up, or in the shower, or eating. You can pray all the time. And that's so powerful to me.
It's a very needful function of the body, praying for each other. Thank you for that encouragement. Well, is there anyone else here? I've only gotten one third of the way through my notes this morning, so that's okay. We're having church. And we're joined together as a church body. Just a little bit further on how, some thoughts on how can I find that place, my place of fulfillment that God has for me. How some of you here have found that place. And you could give a testimony of how you found that place or what led you to that place. And there may be some here who are looking for a way. I have a few thoughts, but I'd be open to a few of you seasoned warriors or seasoned brothers and sisters who can give a very clear testimony of how you found your way. And I don't mean all the details. I think the very simple, basic fact that I can look at is to begin to do what is in my hand today. To begin to do that which God gives me today. And to do it well, to do it with joy, and also to look around and find an empty spot that no one is ministering to. There's lots of different gifts in the body. For example, a certain person might wonder, why doesn't anybody clean this place up? Maybe God is laying on calling her or him to a place, to that job right there. If you want to find real fulfillment in life, that's one of the steps that you can use to find what your real gift of life is and how you can minister to others. Is when you see a need that no one else seems to see. Maybe you wonder why there's no Bibles in Philly. And so you start bringing Bibles there. Okay, you take what God puts into your hand and work with it. I thought of the testimony, the story in the Old Testament of the one of the widows of the sons of the prophets there came begging to Elisha and saying she has nothing. She has two sons and the creditors are coming to take them away to pay the debt. And what was it that Elisha asked her? Well, tell me, what do you have in your house? And she said, your servant has nothing but a jar of oil. Oh, okay. But then that's when the instruction then came to use that which she had. And that's so very important for each one of us. Youth. Take what God has put into your hand and begin to use it. And see what God will do with it. Amen? Is there someone that want to give a short testimony on that in the back? Reuben?
Something that's been very influential for me is just the realization of the verse in Romans 8:28 that says, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. And as that became a reality in my life, that no matter where I am, whether it's a totally imperfect situation or what I'm doing or what the circumstance I find myself in, God has a purpose in it. God has a reason for it. And that brings fulfillment and joy to then just turn around and serve the Lord right in that situation and right in that circumstance, and to be able to find fulfillment in serving the Lord in all those things.
Thank you, Reuben. I thought you were going to share about how when you were a 12-year-old boy here in this church and you saw a need to make tapes or whatever it was, work in the tape ministry. You saw a need there and you began to work in the tape ministry, right? I remember those days. You were 12 years old, right? 12-year-old boy in the church found something to do. And that has opened the way, right? For ministry, life ministry. That's what we're talking about. What is that that's in your hand? Tell me, what do you have in your house? What gift has God given you? I think I'm beginning to understand why I enjoy roofing so much. I just really enjoy it. Why? It's worship to me. It's fulfillment. I found a place where I can serve God. And I love it. Someone else, a testimony here yet? One up here. And I just love life. Amen? Life is fulfilling.
I hesitated to share this, but I maybe should have shared right after Amos did. I work for the same company that he does, but I work at a different end. I get to see the imperfect stuff that comes out of the extrusion machines, and I get to grind this up. And it's a loud noise, and I wear earmuffs during the summer, and it gets sweaty. And one day I was thinking about this, and I thought, here I'm making something for these rich people that have money to put this on their porches, and I don't have that kind of money. I live in a rented house. Anyway, just to make a long story short, this one day I was thinking about this, and I thought, and it was kind of mundane, and it was warm and loud, and so all at once I decided, well, I can make some money here and give it to the missionaries so they can go and minister better in the place where they're at. And it gave me new courage, and I just ground a scrap up for the Lord. It made a big difference.
But isn't the key to this whole thing is, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it as unto the Lord. That's the key. Yes?
When I wanted to talk to the single ladies and also the young men. When I was younger, I was also trying to see what God's will for my life was as a teenager. And then, like you said, I saw the need of mothers needing help. And so me and my sister made it our ministry to, with our parents' permission, to go to those mothers who had a lot of children and were expecting or had just given birth, and we would help them. And I remember one lady saying, I hope you guys are blessed, that God will bless you in the same way you've blessed us. And I have the privilege of being blessed by young ladies in our church who have helped me. And so for you young ladies, that's how you train to be a wife and a mother, by taking those opportunities and fulfilling them. And also for the young men, when I was younger, I wanted to see young men who were passionate about God and, you know, who knew how to have fun, but also balanced it with being on fire for God, you know. And I hardly found guys who knew the balance. It was either all fun or all spiritual. And by God's grace, when I came and I met my husband, I felt that he learned that balance. So I encourage you young men to really seek the Lord to find that balance and train to be a man of God also. God bless you.
Thank you, sister. Very good. Dawn?
Back to how to find fulfillment where you are. I know when we were in Ghana for a year, even though what I did there was exactly what I do here, basically as a wife and a mom. When I came back, somehow when I was there, I felt like, okay, I'm a missionary, so everything I'm doing is for God. And when I came back here, I just felt like my life is pointless, even though I was doing the same thing. I don't know, I just didn't feel any fulfillment anymore, and I really struggled with it. And it was such a simple fix. It was just the realization that where God has you is where he wants you, and to use what's in your hand. I started doing, my first thing was, okay, I can take baby meals to moms who have babies. And so just something simple like that, and making myself available for, whatever was around me, gave me the fulfillment and made me realize that I can be useful for God's kingdom, whether I'm on the field or here.
Thank you, Dawn. Amen. I'd like to highlight the testimony that Arlen's wife gave, Rosemary. I just encourage you, youth, get your eyes off of yourself and look around and find something to do for others. That's really where life begins. Yeah.
I would like to just share one aspect of something that I faced about 2 months ago. I was allowing the pressures and stresses, the challenges of work, to burden me down. And I realized that I can't go on like this, because it was affecting my attitude, like I was ungrateful for my job. But as I went to the Lord in prayer about it, I realized that, you know what, I need to take some of those verses that I've ignored for too long and just make them, what's the term? There's a term called a mantra, something you just say over and over to yourself to help yourself believe what you're saying. But that's kind of a little bit what I did with these verses. I took the verse that says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So throughout the day I said, okay, I'm going to cast this care upon him because I can't carry it. It was about my work. It was, you know, all the things that I knew I should do to do my job right, but I can't carry the burden of all those things. And then the other one was just to know that, you know, today in what I'm doing, I'm going to seek God's kingdom first. So whatever's right in this situation, I'm going to seek God's glory and honor. So those two verses just majorly changed how I was able to look at my job in that way.
All right, thank you. All right, I'm going to just bring this to a close here. Thank you all so much for taking part. One of my jobs is, again, in the Scriptures. He gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's part of our job, Brother Aaron. By God's grace, we can do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 16 again, from whom the whole body, and this is from Christ, speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Again, one of the keys to this fulfilled life is to have Christ as the head, personally. Christ is your Lord and Savior. Without that, your life will not be fulfilled. Cannot be fulfilled. But if Christ is the head, which he is, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for edifying one another this morning in love. May God bless you. Can we just bow our heads to pray? Heavenly Father, truly, Lord, you are good. Your mercy reaches down to us. Thank you for this body, this church. Thank you for each member, every member. Thank you for every soul that is here today. Thank you for the part that they are playing. Thank you for the work that they're doing. Thank you for the joy you're giving us, each one of us, in our everyday work, with a heart
for the glory and kingdom of God. Lord, would you continue to grow us up in this? Would you continue to help us, strengthen us? And Lord, if there be any here who wrestle with feeling like they're not very spiritual when they do their daily duties, Father, would you just minister life to them? Help them to have a change of heart and change of attitude about what you think, how you think about these things. Father, thank you. Thank you for the head. Thank you for Jesus. And thank you for ministering life to us. Thank you for your anointing, your Holy Spirit working here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It's good to have fellowship together with our brothers and sisters. I just so appreciated the edification that came to each of our hearts today. Thank you, Brother Emmanuel, for the message that the Lord gave you to share with us and for all of your participation. In my own heart, I'm thrilled about this message, and I don't think we're quite finished yet with the first part, Emmanuel, the whole church. And I look forward to the rest of it, the whole gospel, the whole world, casting a vision. And I thought of this too, that, you know, maybe one of the ways where we can sense where God has gifted us and God is calling us is, what is it that gets you excited? What is it that lights your life, you know? When you think, you know, something that it's quickening to you. You know, you thrill at the thought of doing this or being involved in this. And, you know, God hasn't called us to just a mundane service, but that we are serving the Lord with gladness and with joy in all that we do. Purpose. Thought of that word. You know, meaning and purpose. Praise God. You know, every part is needed. Just want to emphasize that. How many bones are in the human body? Somebody tell me? 200? 260? Yeah, if a couple of bones are missing, it really doesn't matter, does it? Absolutely it does. I mean, you break your little toe. Just your little toe bones, just small. You're going to limp, it's going to hurt, you're going to feel that thing. You know, so I just want to encourage all of us. You know, you might sometimes feel like, well, you know, what is my place? I don't know that it, you know. But that little toe, or the big toe, or whatever part of the body it is, it's all necessary. I thought of this too in the illustration we had last Sunday. You know, what if all of us were flutes? All of us were flutes. You know, all that high. I think I want to hold my ears shut if all of our voices were flutes. But when you have that balance of the violin, the cello, the viola, the trombone, the saxophone, the harp, the trumpet, the flute, the double bass, and they're all following the conductor, oh, a beautiful symphony of praise to the Lord. Amen. So be it, Lord.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.